Sunday, May 11th, third Sunday after Easter. The Epistle from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 19. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims to refrain yourselves from carnal desires which war against the soul, having your conversation good among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by the good works which they shall behold in you glorify God in the day of visitation. Be ye subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake, whether it be to the king as excelling, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of the good. For so is the will of God, that by doing well you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not as making liberty a cloak for malice, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy before God, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Haydock Commentary. I beseech you to refrain from all unlawful and disorderly passions, that the Gentiles not yet converted may have nothing to blame in your lives and conversation, but may be edified and induced to praise God. God is said to visit his people sometimes by afflictions and punishments, and sometimes by graces and favors. Some think St. Peter here by the day of visitation means the approaching destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans, and that the sense is that the heathen Romans, seeing your peaceable dispositions and pious conversations, may have a favorable opinion of the Christian religion and be converted. Others take it to mean that you and they to whom the gospel is preached may glorify God when he visits them with graces and favors, whether exterior or interior. Be careful not to give occasion to scandal. Detraction is the life of the world, and piety is most exposed to its shafts because it most condemns the maxims of its followers. Be subject to every human creature, that is, to everyone whom the order of providence has placed over you, whether it be to emperors or kings who have the supreme power in kingdoms, or to governors of provinces. Obey your temporal princes, though heathens and idolaters, as the Roman emperors were at that time enemies to the Christian religion. Obey them in all that is not sinful and against the law of God. For this is the will of God, and all power is from God. In like manner, servants must be subject and obey their masters, though they be infidels. By this you will silence the ignorance and calumnies of foolish men, who pretended that the Christian religion taught them to be disobedient to princes, and to be subjects of Christ only, their supreme spiritual king. Take care not to make your Christian freedom and liberty a cloak for malice, as they do who pretend that this makes subjects free from their obedience to temporal princes and magistrates, or servants free from the obedience due to their masters, even when they are froward, ill-humored, or cross to them. There were some heretics in the days of St. Peter, as there are at present, who, under pretext of evangelical liberty, seek to be free from all, even lawful, subjection, and thus set themselves above the ordinances of both civil and ecclesiastical power. It is praiseworthy, an effect of God's grace, a thing acceptable to God, when you suffer injuries patiently, whereas it is no glory, nothing that deserves commendation or reward, either before God or man, to suffer for doing ill as a malefactor who deserves punishments. But it is glorious and meritorious for you to suffer as Christians and for the Christian faith. Be not then ashamed to suffer in this manner. These sufferings are marks of God's favor towards you, and you have the example of Christ, which you must imitate. The Gospel from John chapter 16, verses 16 through 22. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while, and now you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then some of his disciples said one to another, "What is this that he saith to us, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father'?" They said therefore, "What is this that he saith, 'A little while'? We know not what he speaketh." And Jesus knew that they had a mind to ask him, and he said to them, "Of this do you inquire among yourselves, because I said, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me'? Amen, amen, I say to you, that you shall lament and weep, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be made sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But when she hath brought forth a child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. So also you now indeed have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you." Haydock Commentary. Many expound the words of Christ here in this manner, that after a little while you shall not see me, because even tomorrow I shall be taken from you by death, and again after a little while you shall see me, because the third day I shall rise again and converse with you till my ascension. St. Augustine gives another interpretation, that by the first little while may be understood the short time till Christ's ascension, and by the latter little while the short time that the apostles were to live in this world, after which they should see and enjoy Christ forever in the kingdom of heaven. St. John Chrysostom, St. Cyril, Theophylactus, Euthymius, and others interpret this verse differently. Thus, not long hence I shall be entirely separated from you. You shall not see me because I shall go to the Father by my ascension. But you shall see me again after a short time at my second coming to judge the living and the dead. All the time that shall pass between my ascension and my second coming is in the eyes of God only as a moment, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday which is past and gone. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy, chiefly at the end of your mortal life. Then you shall have a joy never to be taken from you. The joy you will feel at my resurrection shall ever be unalterable and unremitting, because there I shall give you assurances and proofs of your future resurrection and immortality. As you have been partakers in my labors, in my ignominies, and in my sorrows, so also shall you have a share in my glory, in my resurrection, and immortal bliss. Behold, these will rise to your ever unalterable and permanent joy. So say St. John Chrysostom, St. Cyril, Theophylactus, and others.